Welcome back to Yahoo Finance Live. The amount of outstanding student debt in the U.S. has nearly doubled over the past decade to more than $1.7 billion. But what does all that debt mean for our economy? Here to help us sort it out is Kevin Miller. He is Associate Director of Higher Education at the Bipartisan Policy Center. We're also joined by our education reporter, Aarthi Swaminathan. Thanks so much for joining us, Kevin. I want to start out with talking a little bit about student default rates, because I'm wondering what that looks like right now. Because if you think that these students are able to pay back their loans with interest, you wonder, how is that adversely impacting the federal government?
Well, it's adding up to quite a bit of money at this point. So before the pandemic pause on student loan payments, we had millions of students who were defaulting. Now, we expect that to drop a little because of the pause on repayments, but that adds up to billions of dollars that are not flowing back into the federal government where they're supposed to be. So as a result, there are, you know, at this point, probably something like tens of billions, maybe $50 billion a year costs that are accruing to the federal government. And of course, over time, that adds up to even more money.
Kevin, I'm curious because in the report you said one in five borrowers were in default, and that's a pretty sizable number. And as we expect repayment to basically resume, we're going to see in your report, you basically said it was, you know, parents, it was student loan borrowers, it could even be grandparents who are all eligible to sort of restart this payment. So are you expecting a spike in default? Can you tell at all from the research?
It's hard to say at this point. Obviously, the pandemic has been really difficult on a lot of people's finances. We would expect probably that there are going to be people who are going to struggle to repay when they enter repayment in February, when the federal government restarts that process. So what we want to see actually is the Department of Education to do a more active job of getting people into what we call income-driven repayment plans. Those are plans where if you have a really low income, your repayment rate per month can be as low as $0. So if you at that point, you won't default on the loan, essentially. If you have a very low income, essentially, you know, it's a sort of permanent pause for people who really can't afford to repay their loan. So they can avoid the worst case scenario of default, which ruins their credit. And of course, the federal government often never fully recovers the value of defaulted loans.
It's really interesting because there's so many plans to reform the many different types of income-driven repayment plans that we have. But I'm curious specifically on the topic of Parent PLUS loans and graduate loans. Very big, big sums of money that are being borrowed in these two categories. So do you think that the government is moving towards introducing a cap maybe on these type of loans? And what did the research sort of show you?
I don't think there's any imminent plan to introduce a cap, but we would like to see some more research on that and some real consideration around whether these huge loans that graduate students and parents who are borrowing for their undergraduate children, these loans can be hundreds of thousands of dollars, and there are minimal checks on that process. And so you have, in some cases, really low-income parents who want their children to succeed in college, which is a great impulse, but they can take on tens of thousands or even more in debt and then end up unable to pay it. And because these are student loans, legally speaking, they're almost impossible, very difficult to discharge in bankruptcy. So people end up with permanent debt. And what we want is a system that, well, first discourages that from happening in the first place, but then if people do end up with unpayable debt, gives them the flexibility and options they need so they don't end up defaulting on those loans.
One thing I'm curious about your take on is bankruptcy. There have been some conversations about maybe easing the standards, allowing some people to get rid of this debt that was previously thought of as non-dischargeable. So I'm curious, like, where do you stand on this? And do you think that the federal government could actually get rid of all this non-payable debt by simply loosening that one valve? Or is it too much of a moral hazard if they, you know, do that?
That's a great question. I think it's complicated. I think at this point, one of the things we need to keep in mind is that unpayable student debt is essentially going to be on the federal government's balance sheet. So when an individual or a family can't repay student loans, that's obviously really difficult and stressful for them. But someone, in that case here, it's the federal government, the taxpayers, ends up bearing that cost. And so one of the things we need to think about really broadly as a society is how we finance college. Are we letting people access college in a way that is affordable? Can people get a bachelor's degree without going into tens of thousands of dollars of debt? And the reality right now is that for most people, the answer is no. like that's a very common, in fact, almost the normal way to approach college is to take on a large amount of debt. And for people who struggle to repay afterward for various reasons, maybe the program they entered was low quality, maybe they had a personal tragedy, maybe they became disabled and are unable to work. There are a lot of circumstances under which people can end up with this debt, and we need to continue to have sort of what I think of as off-ramps, ways to for those people to move out of repayment so that they aren't permanently stuck in debt, that they'll never be able to repay. Ultimately, that's going to be the responsibility of the federal government, because the federal government holds these debts. But we need to think about building a system that's fair to borrowers, but also is going to rein in some of these costs over the long term.
And then for many low-income students who depend on Pell Grants, curious about where do you think that number should be? Because there's so many discussions on expanding it, so many discussions on free community college. So where do you sort of stand, and where do you see, how much could Pell Grants increase if you were to take a guess?
Well, at this point, as you may know, in the sort of last draft of the bill that the Democrats were working on in reconciliation, there was a relatively small increase, about $550. And the maximum Pell had been proposed. That's not moving yet. We don't know where that number is going to end up. In general, the Bipartisan Policy Center would like to see larger Pell grants go to low-income students, because we want those students to be paying for their education with grants that they don't need to repay, rather than taking on large loans. I think it's also important to think about the fact that there are currently people who are taking on loans that don't necessarily need that help. And so we want to make sure we sort of keep resources going to the lowest income people. We don't necessarily want large amounts of forgiveness for high income borrowers, but we do want larger grants for low income people. And we also want repayment programs that serve those interests when they struggle.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Kevin Miller of the Bipartisan Policy Center, thanks so much for being with us. Next